Welcome back to Uncorked, another podcast brought to you by Team Corker. We jump on the mic today with an old friend from the wonderful town of Vancouver. We both found our way there from the east coast of Canada. And I remember meeting Noah very specifically at a bike shop, actually. It's a local community hub, and he was racing bikes. He didn't have children yet, and he wasn't quite the co-founder of a tech company, an app that he is now running. And life felt a little more risky. It's really fun now to run into Noah at running races where he runs long, and was, you know, this particular race, he was out promoting the app as an opportunity for people to track runners, to share routes, especially as it relates to local trails. And I always love the stories that come from the side of races or start lines for that matter. And there's so much more that goes into the journey of getting to the start of an app such as RunGo that Noah is the co-founder of. And this podcast is just that, the uncovering of the bits and pieces of the heart and soul of the founder behind the app. And there are so many more of these conversations I'd like to have. I'm very inspired by Noah's perspective, how he sees the world, how he gets to interact now with children of his own, and helping us get out and run in new places and new spaces. So without further ado, a conversation with a dear friend, Noah Bloom. Noah Bloom, welcome to the pod. It was a delight to see you at a trail race, and it's an even greater delight to get to dive into all things. Well, we are going to talk about running, but all things beyond a start line and a finish line. So thanks for saying yes.
Thank you, Steph. It's great to be here.
I want to dive in first by asking you to introduce yourself in Noah's words, on Noah's terms. Who are you, my friend?
Yeah, my name is Noah Bloom. I live in North Vancouver, Canada, right where the ocean meets the mountains. I grew up in Montreal, and I found my way here. I'm a dad, I'm a runner, I'm a startup founder, and I love to travel. And I love to inspire people to really explore their world and prioritize their well-being.
You are so humble because you like well-being and you like startups and you really like your 2 feet. And that sweet body has done many, many cool things on or with those 2 feet. And so before we go into your entrepreneurial founder venture, can we start about what does well-being mean for you? Tell me about anything that you will disclose and share as it relates to your own well-being journey.
Well, yeah, like I mentioned, growing up in Montreal, I played hockey. Believe it or not, I played football. And slowly through high school, I started to discover rowing and cross-country skiing and pre-season cross-country skiing, running up mountains until you could taste blood in your mouth. But I always had this allure of the mountains and of nature. So, you know, that has led me now to have moved out west to BC and to discover these other kind of sports in my life. In university, what was really important to me was rowing, being on the rowing team. And that was a formidable experience, just from the teammate aspect to the hard work, to the technical efficiency and the experience of rowing doing a sport at a high level with a very focused, committed group of people. And since then, in and out of the startup world and technology, working too hard, losing focus on athletics and fitness, but rediscovering biking and road bike racing in my early 30s and pursuing that at a fairly high level and really pushing myself. And then now really in running and marathons, short track stuff, ultra stuff, and also embracing the community and loving being part of the running community now in my life. But I've really appreciated all those experiences in my life.
I want you to know that I ask the question because it feels like a conversation we don't have often enough with founders of, you know, of any sort, be it tech or otherwise, of like, what does your own well-being mean? And how does that hit your bottom line? Like, I want to know how you measure your own well-being as much as you measure your company's well-being. And I wish that we could have that conversation more often. And I find that we don't, yet I know that you being you, it was something that I could ask. And I also love that you've danced. You know, there's something so special about rowing, and it's hard to find that same feeling elsewhere. Yet I think bike racing, there is a similar blood in mouth experience, bike racing. And then now, you know, in the trails and running as you do, can we dive into you and running and specifically the startup that you're a part of now?
Yeah, well, I joined as a late co-founder to a company called Rungo. We are the app that gives directions, and we're really trying to imagine what it means to be technology in the fitness space. We're trying to do something that where our intentions are clear, and it does not lead into pursuing athletics for the point of the adulation you get for having done something, where it's really about creating the best experiences for you. So yeah, we are the app that gives directions, and there's a, you know, the fun evolution of how that came to be. But yeah, the company is called Rungo, and a lot of the things that we do right now are really built around partnerships with creators, with races, with hotels, with cities to really craft these amazing ways to explore cities and places around the world.
So Noah, my question revolves around the world. When I hear hotels and I hear directions and I think about how much has changed or shifted in the last 4 years, can you give us a bit of a rundown around what has gone on in the app space since, I mean, in the midst of the pandemic and now post-pandemic?
That's a big question. Let me think about that for a sec.
I'm curious about partnering with hotels.
Mm-hmm.
No one was traveling, but we were all running in mm-hmm. these like quiet corners
okay.
of the world. And now you've chosen partners and you're expanding into these avenues to create experiences for us. How did you think of even partnering with hotels? How did you think of partnering with different places or spaces? So from an innovation perspective, when you're thinking about imagining technology falling into the fitness space, what does that look like for you now, knowing what the last 4 years have been?
Yeah, I think what's really been interesting coming out of the pandemic has been that we have collectively started to appreciate these important pillars in our life. One of them obviously has been wellness and how the pandemic really initiated this awareness from everybody about their wellness on so many different levels. So this wellness as a trend has been really important and powerful for a lot of people. I think another pillar that has been really accepted through the pandemic has been travel. We lost our ability to travel during the pandemic, and that travel is this amazing enabler to break out of your routine and to see different cultures, to be empathetic to different people. And you really can't do that unless you travel. We all lost that chance, like I said, to be able to travel during the pandemic. And I think that we're realizing that that is the thing you can do now that will break you out of this void that we still all feel from what happened, what we lost during those years of the pandemic. And then this third thing that we notice is luxury. I think luxury has as a term, and I'll come back to this, but luxury, the way we perceive the word luxury, it means extravagant, it means not necessary, it means high status, it means expensive. Now people are saying that luxury is around these buzzwords like responsibility and conscious consumption and sustainability, but I think it's something different. And this will come back to what's moving us forward. But I've heard this description about luxury being time, truth, and trust. And time is important because it's the scarcest resource. So how can you help people use that effectively? Truth, you want something that's really in line with you as an individual. And this word is overused, this personalization, but it is still about knowing your own truth and being accepted for your truth. And that's a form of luxury. And then also trust, something that's authentic in this new world where we're skeptical of people speaking at us. We're skeptical of the political landscape, about the divide. And so something that you can trust. So I talked about sort of fitness or wellness and travel and luxury. And I think that these are these trends that we're really appreciating and the enormity of their influence over us. And I think those are the pillars that we're trying to bring out of the pandemic and bring into our lives, bring into the tools that we use, build into the ways that we live our lives.
My heart, I'm like, yes, please. And who knew that the co-founders of Rungo are thinking of us in this way when they think of you know, where can I run? And what are these pillars that matter? And it is wellness and it is travel. And travel can come in many shapes and forms. Let us not forget that that could mean a road trip, and it can mean a flight and new countries and new languages. And there's so many pieces to that. I am inspired and stoked that you care enough to invest in this for us. That feels really, really clear.
But I'd also like to highlight during the pandemic how we saw people be so creative about how they could integrate those elements of travel into their life when they couldn't go anywhere. We had a creator, Wes Plate, and he did a thing in his hometown where he ran every street in his hometown. And this was a mission. He made this amazing video on YouTube about that experience. He's a great creator on YouTube. And he talked about how he would plot out the routes and explore every single block of his city. And it was this way that he could discover parts of a city that he didn't know before. So you can still break your routines by not doing that, but it's hard. You have to be creative. You have to be persistent. In his case, he created a lofty goal, but travel, hopping on a plane or getting in a car or going to the next city is accessible. And you can make that happen just by dropping yourself in a new environment.
I love it. And a map. I mean, like, there's power behind you drop yourself in and you have a map to know where to go and what matters. I talk about maps a ton in the sense of, you know, you can get there by plane or train or car or bike. You get to choose how you get there. So there's a ton of joy in maps for me. You mentioned,
I love maps. Sorry to interrupt, but I love maps. But what I've learned in this role as being like navigation beyond maps is that most people don't like maps. And that we have been used to appreciating these big paper maps of how we navigate the world, these two-dimensional maps. And that is the way that we enable ourselves to go through spaces to see things. I want to see how can we think about navigating the world, new places, familiar places, without that big map? Because we don't like those. They're two-dimensional. They're static. So how can you overlay interesting content, direction, intention through something else? We're doing that through technology. Technology lets us use audio and custom audio and stories, storytelling, voices of interesting people, augmented reality, all these different kinds of things. That's how we're approaching it. But I love this idea of what can we do beyond that two-dimensional map that would navigate our world before?
I love it. So my friends, meet Noah, I Love Maps Bloom, who will now be known as Beyond the Map Bloom. I'm inspired by this, and I'm inspired by your brain and how it thinks about something like this, which makes me want to ask you the question of where do you go for inspiration? And it, personally, I'm curious of like, where do you get in your creative flow? And I'm also interested, you know, as it relates to, you mentioned a YouTube creator, who are you inspired by that comes back to whether it's this world, this part of your world or otherwise?
Who inspires me? I would say for the purpose of this conversation, but it's number one, my children. We can come back to that. Number two, it's the creators on our platform. And it's also our clients are in the travel space, are the cities and hotels, but luxury hotels. A little bit about that. These luxury hotels are seeing this amazing growth and support and financial resources they have right now, where luxury hotels, they're having this amazing growth phase, but throughout all that, they have this responsibility and they have this influence about how they are helping people want to explore places. And these people who, these individuals who work in the luxury hotel space, as an example, they care so earnestly about the experiences that their guests have. They're really there to serve their guests, their customers. And I love talking to them to hear how they're trying to serve their customers, how we can support them in doing that. So that's, I love these conversations. They're amazing people around the world. And I get to talk to them in my effort to sell to them, but to get them to tell me about their own fitness journey, about how they want to deliver experiences to their customers. So I love that. That's really that one kind of people that is inspiring me. The creators on the platform, I mentioned some YouTube creators. We have run coaches like Holly from Excel in Victoria, who creates these amazing experiences with her voice, encouraging her athletes running marathons or training runs around the world. We have Gary Robbins and Jeff Langford that are creating these amazing experiences running through the woods around BC in their CMTR races, and how they're really willing to help their athletes have this self-actualizing experience while they're out exploring, seeing amazing places, but also pushing themselves to the limit and seeing where they turn out on the other end. So those would be the people that are inspiring me right now, the creators, the people in luxury hospitality, and my children, and watching them grow up.
Okay, I love this. You said we'd come back to your children, and I can't help but wonder what it's like to see mini Noahs running around the world. And shout out to your rad wife, because the combination of the two of you are like pretty incredible genetic material. tell me what it's like being a parent.
Well, it's made me re-examine the things that I have always been in my life. I always thought I was patient and empathetic, but also striving for big things. And it's taken my patience to a whole new level. It's taken my awareness about other people and my empathy to another level. And I've loved that. But I think ultimately it's just trying to be aware of what they see, is trying to see when they're looking away at something and smiling and not noticing that otherwise. And the conversations I have with them, understanding how they're seeing the world, that's the most important to me. But really thinking about how can I help them be kind and resilient and paying attention to things. Those are kind of the things I think about with them.
I love it. Paying attention to things. I think it's a love language. I mean, to notice your children smiling at something, and they might not have the words yet, or they might not even need the words, yet their retinas are having an explosion. Their retinas are experiencing something that evokes a smile. And that's a pretty cool thing to witness, I think.
Yeah. You can ask somebody, what are you thinking? Or you can ask them, what are you looking at? Which is a more direct way to understand what are they processing in that moment? That is an answerable question.
I love that. I love it. Thanks for sharing. I'm hitting the pause button on this sweet episode to tell you about something that you might like. Our newsletter, we call it the Corkboard. It has all things juicy, whether you are looking to keep in touch between episodes or find out more about our coaching, development, or hot new jobs that we're working on. The link is in our show notes. Your inbox is sacred and your time is too. So now let's get back to the episode. You just said striving for new things, which makes me want to ask you the very same question. And what is on the Noah list 2024? Perhaps it's what are you striving for, or perhaps what's new, or maybe there is a striving and a new in one sentence.
Well, on a professional side, it's really, growing the brand around RunGo. Any runner around the world, or creators, or these partners, cities, races, and hotels. On the personal side, I'm still really motivated by having goals and showing up at start lines. I love how you talk about showing up at a start line, and that is its whole other conversation. But the appreciation of being at that start line and being grateful for everything that got you to that point, because everything that happens at that point is really a reflection of what you've put into there. So I want to think about, start lines for the short future and making sure that I can get myself to some. And I guess the other part that is important to me coming up is conversations. I'm grateful for what another negative of the pandemic was, losing touch with the breadth of people in your life, and really having to put in the effort to stay in touch with those people. So I'm looking forward to finding ways to get back in touch with those people. Also having these in-person experiences with people and traveling when necessary to do that, and being more willing to do that. So those in-person conversations, And also being appreciative for this amazing breadth of knowledge on the internet, where you can tap into stories and amazing individuals and thoughts through podcasts and interviews. And just knowing that that is out there, we can connect with the most interesting people that have ever lived through that medium. So conversations, whether they're, you know, with me or without me in person, and really trying to manifest all those different things in my life.
I love it so much. And I resonate so deeply and dearly, because I recently heard, perhaps on a podcast actually, that this leader just said, I really believe conversations will change the world. And it landed for me in such a way that I was so excited to hit record on the next podcast, because the reason I started this podcast, you know, 300 episodes ago, was to record really interesting conversations that you couldn't hear otherwise. And I think that while the internet has created platforms for there to be one-way dialogue, I think there's something so beautiful in hearing how we ask questions and how we answer questions. And I want to highlight your reframe of what are you looking at and what are you feeling? And how do we learn to ask better questions? How do we learn to be more curious? And I think it's really fun to get the chance to learn that in this human experiment or experience. What do you have
to say? That's so true. And I appreciate how you're talking about these conversations. And I want to say how grateful I am that you have been doing this podcast and these conversations, because I love to listen to your podcast. And what's interesting about me listening to your podcast is that I will download an episode that I wouldn't think I would be interested in, because I love how you bring your joy and your intention to these conversations. And it's really just this enjoyable experience of listening to your podcast. And I love that. But I want to take another contrarian side about this is, not only do we have access to these conversations and amazing creators who get better at this over time and are, you know, giving this democratic access to anybody to this, the other side of it is, I think we all at the same time need to be more comfortable being alone. And I feel like that is something that we are losing track of in you know, people who in teenagers and 20 somethings right now. And we're having a bit of a mental health and depression crisis in a lot of places. And that can be answered partially in two ways. One of them is by helping people foster more personal connections with people, but also helping people be comfortable being alone. And I think we need to do both of those things at the same time. So, that's sort of my view on that, but how these two opposing forces are really important to everybody at any age to balance that.
Gosh, it's so powerful. And I actually just got chills listening to you say that, because I think there are not many. I mean, let's just look at an athlete's life, that if you had a training program, you would be told to go very hard and to rest very hard. And these are two opposites that are needed in order for us to be excellent. And I think in a world that is so noisy, and where it's almost like a noise level, a decibel is appreciated or glorified, we aren't acknowledging the power in the opposite. And there was a great article I read recently about alone, the difference between being alone and loneliness. And there is something to be said for this, let's call it like the Great Depression part two, and what's happening, because we also were in this wild comparison game. And so when alone, we aren't able to foster a relationship with self that is actually healthy. It's alone in comparison to so many other pieces. So I feel like we could riff on that in a whole other beautiful space, and to almost bring it back. Oh, you go first.
So let me add, that's a great point. And I think it's another reason why athletes and endurance athletes, why there's so much value that is underrated about that. One, it's because when you're out there training, or racing, you're really stuck in your brain so much. And you are seeing, how do I talk to myself during those moments? And how can I improve at that? And how do I manage that? And that is this huge opportunity to be able to work on that personally. The other side of it is in that training, you're often disconnected from social media, and any excuse we can have to be disconnected, especially right now, can be really helpful. So while, you know, there's a lot about social media that can be beneficial, we have to be really aware about the negatives, and to force yourself to be outside on a long bike ride or a run or whatever it is it's a forced break from that, and to really be back in your own mind. And I think that is really underrated, and really a good proof point of the value of endurance sports, or being an athlete in anybody's life.
It's so powerful. It's so true. And it's not, I feel like it's not spoken of often enough, yet I also don't know that we personally speak about it enough. It's like the power of practicing and harnessing and relishing in aloneness is really beautiful. And how can that be something that we focus on in the same vein as, like, you might wake up in the morning and meditate or have like a morning ritual, a morning moment? How can we take that into other areas of our lives? And it feels like, without being back to the pandemic, this notion of like putting our own mask on first, taking care of ourselves, and then being a better version of ourselves to show up in the world. So I appreciate that this kind of comes full circle back to the power of creating maps for people to explore. And there is a sense that you can do this alone, and you can have something with you that allows for you to be alone, and it allows for you to be together. And I think what you said was so perfect. Like, we need these opposing forces for sure. It's one without the other. And conversations will change the world, because perhaps one more person will feel okay to run alone or to do something alone, hopefully safely. I'm here. If running alone is not safe where you are listening to this, then please don't run alone. Yet, where am I going? Conversations change the world. And I hope someone listening to this conversation will do what they need to do, together or not, and do it safely. Noah, we're out of time. I could riff with you now on a whole mental side of the world, and we have to wrap it in a bow. And my last question that I have to ask is, what is making your heart beat faster?
Well, I love that you asked this question. I've even asked people on like sales calls, some sort of version of this question, and it really unlocks, you know, turns these professional calls into just this delightful connection and interaction with people. But I love that you ask it. Okay, so in terms of me, you know, I mentioned these sort of pillars in my life professionally, whether that's, you know, fitness and travel and local experiences and storytelling, and then about being a good parent. So I think what's making my heartbeat faster is specifically being aware of these things on a moment to moment basis. So in terms of like fitness, like you talk about, is showing up at start lines, having that gratitude and that intention about those moments that you've put so much effort into and you've arrived. In terms of travel, I mean, we all felt cooped up during the pandemic. I think it's still lingering in a lot of us, and the antidote to a lot of that is travel. So I'm trying to travel alone, with my partner or with my kids, and looking for that and finding the benefits of it there. And then in terms of local experiences and luxury and hospitality, where hospitality, so much of it is about serving people, but also empowering your colleagues. So I've loved just sort of listening to their stories and surface to our customers and our customers' customers what really moves their needle. And then finally, really as a parent, is being aware of these moments with my children as they're becoming who they are, and seeing what they're paying attention to, what gives them joy, what gives them motivation, and trying to be there for them in that transitional moment.
My heart. I mean, it's you far and wide, and it's you at the dinner table. And that's not lost on me. And what I love so much is that you on the internet, you at a race, you racing yourself at a start line, is so congruent. And I say that as what I hope to be the highest compliment, because I know that it's not something that exists within everyone. And it was just so awesome to see you at a start line while you weren't racing, you were there, and to know that you're just still full of so much integrity. So Noah, thank you.
Thank you, Steph.
Oh, hey, before you go, you know, listening to podcasts on this thing called the internet, it's a wild ride. And what would be so helpful on our wild journey is if you would be so kind to jump on and give us a review. 4, maybe even 5 stars. It really helps. Thanks for joining us.